check this out. This is Fresh Bit Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we beat, we fight our beats, we represent. All them killers on the mic and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's curious for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so me, sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder masking music show. Free the homie gangster, bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
up
forever, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show, let's get the drum, let's get it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Press. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 698. We got a returning guest, in the house tonight. A legend out of, the rap game, Houston, just was right there, during the Rap-A-Lot days, and also a member of the syndicate. I'm talking about Born Twice, the rhyme syndicate, that is. Man, Born Twice, yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. How are you, man? Crazy times right now, but I'm getting through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Very crazy times. Unfortunately, we're seeing what's going on with these punk police, man. Rest in peace. George Floyd, what happened to him is horrible. You've been speaking about this in your music since day one. Your first album.
That's what I was going to speak on, man. That album cover was my artistic expression, even at that time, to say these are all the things that are against me. And if all these things, I got my own brothers against me. That was the two dudes with the gun on me. And then I had the cop. Shout out to Sean Brock. That's Sean Brock, one of the owners of Pen and Pixel. That's the cop. And then I got the Ku Klux Klan against me. So I'm on the ground and says you have the right to remain violent. Like, as long as all these forces is coming against me, as you can see what just happened in Minneapolis, you have the right to remain violent, not silent. Because unless we push back, it don't seem like they're going to stop. I mean, you got to understand, we talking about within maybe a 10 to 15 day time frame, they killed the black woman and took her boyfriend to jail disrespectfully. Finally let him go, thank God, for him and his family. Then they just killed Ahmaud in Georgia and then tricked the motherfuckers to make them move or bring the people from Metro Atlanta to that little county, which them people in that county probably not going to convict those guys, man. Like, we'll see how it goes, though. I don't want to be negative until the time, it shows itself. But I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, it's a lot, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, to be a black man and have black sons, that's why I got land, man. Like, I come from a strong family on my father's side, man. We're strong men. Shout out to my Uncle P. He just died like a week ago. My Uncle P, Preston Maddox Sr. You know, he's a master contractor, man. Master contractor, yeah. Shout out to all his kids, Prez, Big Prez, my big cuz, Tara, Toya, you know, and Lisa, and my little cuz, Trey, you know what I'm saying, Preston the Third. So shout out to them, man, and the rest of the family, man. But we buy land, you know what I'm saying? We got our own land. We do shit like that. So, you know, more self-sufficient hunters and fishers, you know how to get it out the mud, literally. So yeah. I thank my family for that because they taught me that. You know, I came from Jersey, but when I went to Florida, you know, my family, they upped me. They gave me that country boy.
So you come from the East Coast originally. You know, like DJ Ready Red, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Ready Red. That was my Aries
first,
brother.
Before you went to Texas?
No, I went to Florida. I was always in East Orange or North, you know, growing up in Jersey. But
yeah.
A couple of times in my life, I went there.
Okay.
I guess my mom just really couldn't handle us a little bit or something. And my oldest brother, R.I.P., Randall Maddox Jr., she basically shipped us there when we was like 12, 13. Niggas out here acting up a little bit in their cars, man. You got to excuse that. But we was like 12 or 13. And I went out there and stayed. We stayed for probably like a year. And then went back to Jersey. But then I went back again when I was 16. I went to high school there for a little bit, for like a year. So that gave me my Florida boy. You know, that showed me a whole different, like, black culture. Like, Florida dudes, man, they got their own swag completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to homie JT Money down there. One of the pioneers.
Oh yeah, he definitely represent that Florida boy, that road boy, as we say in Florida, that road boy. Yeah, he definitely represent that to the fullest.
You know,
Geechee, what we call Geechee.
Oh yeah, Charleston. Yeah, shout out to everybody over in Charleston, South Carolina too, man. That's a whole different scene over there. Very talented. You know what I'm saying? Untapped market. But yet people sleep on them, you know.
Yeah.
But you, man, you are very, very musically inclined, talented producer, artist, songwriter, you know what I'm saying? Eventually, you caught the attention of, you know what I'm saying, Jay Prince, Rap-A-Lot Records. You won a part of the Royal Flush. Who is in the group with you? And how did you guys catch
I'm gonna tell you what's funny, man. Actually, I'm here with my brother Rick right now. Like Ricardo, King Ricardo, that's the king of the Royal Flush. Shout out to my brother Al B. I just hung out with him, FaceTime, and he in the Cayman Islands right now. And that was the Royal Flush. That was the twins. We call them the Wonder Twins. But I was the DJ, but my family situation was real bad, so I had to get in the streets. Like, I ain't never really want to. Like, it ain't something that I really glamorize, and I don't really wish that shit on no man. You know what I'm saying? To have to go out there and figure it all out, like, on the front lines and could lose your life or go to prison and take those type of risks. Like, that ain't something that I'm necessarily pushing. But don't get me wrong. If your situation is bad enough, get it, nigga. For real. Chances make champions. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, if it's that bad. In other words, if you pressed all the way, go hard, man. You feel me? But if you got a way out, if you got parents and you got fucking mother, father, uncle, you know, maybe. Like, I would tell any young dude now that I'm older and I've been through a lot, I say get your credit right and go hard. Like, the bank could give you what you need to go at whatever business you feel like, you know, has your interest the most. I would say that, but. Beyond that, if you just really in the mud and you're in a bad situation and you got to get it, like you got to feed your family tonight type of shit, yeah, man, you got to, get up, make it happen, be smart, and don't try to do that shit forever stack your chips, my nigga, and dip. That'd be my advice for real.
Yeah, get in and get out, you know.
Yeah, man, you got to throw that money at something, man, because you're going to have to figure out how to clean it anyway. That's going to become a part of the game for you anyway. So you need to have that business knowledge, or you need to hire somebody that do. Like, I remember being so rich, man, in that game years and years ago and not even knowing what to do with the money, like just having it. Like, I'm like, I got everything. Like, what do I do now? I ain't even know. You feel me? So that's real talk. Like, any real nigga probably hear that and be like, yo, he's saying some real shit, because that's the shit niggas don't want to say. But I really didn't know.
Man.
I had to figure it out. I had to figure business out. I had to figure out Dun & Bradstreet. I had to figure out EIN numbers. I had to figure out how to get credit lines and had to figure in trade lines. I had to figure all that shit out, articles of incorporation, and LLCs. I still had to learn all that.
Yeah. Well, you were around, you know, saying some great business minds, you know. I mean, none better than Jay Prince. You know, I imagine you learned a lot from him.
He's a mastermind, definitely. No doubt he's a mastermind, because I watched not just him. I watched him and Cliff. Like, I was right there with them, like, really holding it down. Like, even our first tour on the first bus that we bought, like, a Partridge Family bus. We used to call it the Partridge Family bus. And we went out there, man. We went on tour, and we had the time of our lives, man. We
now
ended up spending
like 80s,
New Year's.
Man.
Yeah, this is like 86, 87. Like, I already was good. Like, all right, I took one of my vehicles on the tour. Like, I just followed them. Like, fuck it. I had just got it freshly painted. A beautiful truck, nigga. Like looked like some Ferrari shit. I just followed them with the bumps in it. Like, the whole bed of the truck was 15-inch woofers. So I just took that with them. Like, I'm going to follow y'all. And then we took, Jay had a Mercedes back then. Oh, my God. He had two of them. He had two fine. Like, any real nigga know when I say this, they're going to crack up to themselves, because they, if you know this, you really know the history of us. But he had a 2560 SEC Benzes. And he had them cut into, they already two doors. He had them shits cut into convertibles. This was some shit. Look, even if I pulled up in one now, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
Shits look like spaceships. He had a red one. Well, first he had a black one and a white one. No, I'm saying a black one and a red one. And then he painted one of them a super pearl white, the black one, I think. And he still had the red one. So I think he cut a deal. Well, I ain't going to tell his business. I ain't going to tell that. That's his story to tell. But, yeah, we took that Benz to New York. We was going to New York and getting it on there. Like, we was going there on some gangster shit. Like, yo, y'all going to accept us? And then we was already from there. So we was with the play. We like, yo, y'all going to accept us. But we didn't even realize. Like, when I talked to a lot of OG cats, like my boys, the Smugglers, I talked to my I call him my little big homie because he more gangster than me. I talked to him earlier today, and he was like, yo, y'all was big up there. Because he from Left Rack, Queens. He like, yo, y'all was big in New York. So we didn't even realize they was already loving us in New York. It just was taking time. You feel me?
Yeah, but it's dope. I mean, and gangsters, hell, at the time, how y'all just went out there and said, man, give us our fucking respect. You know, you're gonna
know. Well, you know, one thing we always knew under the tutelage of Jay Prince, like, everywhere we went, we had friends. So if you're really from the street, you know, like, I don't give a fuck about the neighborhood. Who run the neighborhood? Let me talk to him. It's like, I guess, back in the days when you look at, like, the Game of Thrones type of shit. You go through a village, you like, where the chief at? Or, like, the motherfuckers coming from outer space, take me to your leader, nigga. Let me talk to him. Like, if I talk to him, I'm talking to y'all. So let me talk to him. Like, that's just how we always operated, man. And it works. It still works to this day. Even Ice, like, when me and Big Homie be talking, he did things the same way. Like, he just always had respect. You always got to respect the chief. Once you respect the chief, the Indians are going to fall in line, as they should.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now Ice-T, you know, he's it's dope to see him. He's still doing Body Count, but he's dropping some rap records again. You know what I'm saying? You and him made some dope music together. That 6 in the Morning remake is phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? How did you initially meet him, and how did you guys get to the point, you know what I'm saying, where you guys were starting to work together? You became part of Rhyme
City. Yo, shout out to Brother Marquise from the 2 Live Crew, because that's he was the plug that connected me and Ice. You know, it's so funny. That nigga's prophetic. Got to give him his credit. He actually, we was on this tour. We was on this little tour, and he and I was on the tour together. A dude back in the day that used to, and JT Money know the dude I'm about to talk about, because he took JT Money to Europe. Big D, I got to give him his credit. He from Jersey, but he really was a staple in Houston, like had the promotion thing on Smash. And that's my homie. So once I did the 6 in the Morning, actually when I came up with the idea to do 6 in the Morning, I was at his house, and I didn't think I could do it. I called my people, and we made it happen. I paid for the rights, and we made it happen. Make a strong story short, Big D basically was the dude that took JT Money, all those guys, like, out on tours and really did his thing for them, you know, as far as, like, a not just a role manager, but, like, a promoter. You feel me? So he, the tour, he asked me to come on. He had some pay dates, like, because I had my own company then. So I was getting big royalty checks then. And he's like, yo, come out on this tour. I'm going to get you some of the show money, too. So Clay D, who's like a legend, and Rowan and D, they from Miami. Shout out to them. Because we ended up being in the limousine. I had to lay down with the twin guns. That's when they realized I was gangster as fuck. Because, you know, we got into it with some Mexicans, actually, man. And, you know, I don't like to talk about shit like that, because to me, Mexicans is black people, and black people is Mexicans, even if black people or Mexicans don't know that shit. It's Olmeca. It's the pyramid people. We invented hip-hop. Period.
Yeah, that's...
But we got into it with them, and the shit went down. We had to get a police escort to pull us, take us to the hotel, but they was about to shoot up the limo, so I'm laying on the floor with the guns out. But, you know, I try to look out when people is around me. But make a strong story short, you got to meet. You ever met Ice-T, man? I was like, nah. He was like, man, you got to meet this nigga, man. Y'all niggas is like twins, man. Y'all niggas going to meet. Y'all niggas going to fall in love with each other. That nigga said exactly that. I was like, all right, cool. I said, like, yo, that nigga's like a mentor to me. I'd love to meet him. He said, yo, when you going to be in L.A. again? I said, nigga, I'm shipping the Benz out there now. I said, when the Benz get there, nigga, I'm flying out. As soon as I start twisting coils, he said, I'm going to be out there, nigga. I'm from there. I was like, oh, shit. He said, I'm going to be like off of, I ain't going to say where his mom's where at, but it's in the hood. It's like real nigga hood. So he was like, yo, when you get out there, nigga, call me, nigga. So that's what happened. We linked up. I went and picked him up in the Benz. He's like, yo, nigga, you out here doing this shit, huh? I said, I told you, nigga, this is my town. He's like, nigga, I'm going to take you by the syndicate office. I said, for real? He was like, yeah. He's like, you going there right now. We went straight over there to the syndicate office. Shawnee Shine. Shout out to Shawnee Shine, the big homie. That became the big homie, but at the time, I ain't know him. You feel me? And we went by there. That's when the syndicate office was on La Brea. And we went by there. And sure enough, nigga, Ice was there that day. Because he had been out actually filming Surviving the Game. So I pull up, man. I went and got one of my other flyer whips. I pull up, man, with the fucking tapes in the trunk, nigga. I had the 6. No, wait, I'm sorry. That's the second time we linked up. This the first time where he wasn't there that day. I just left the tapes. And then when he came, I gave him another box of cassettes. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah. Back in the
but he was days. Impressed because I was young as fuck. I was like only in my early 20s, and I was already owning my own shit and getting money, man, like and driving what I want, Rolex on the arm and all of that. He was really impressed by that. He was like, nigga, you out here, you already own it. I was like, he's like, yo, when I get back, let's link up. So that's what happened, man, once we linked up. Actually, me and my brother Grover Washington had a studio in Venice Beach. and we was chilling out there, and that's when we went and we connected with Ice. Han Sol was with us. He used to be on Loud RCA with Steve Rifkin, and I had a couple meetings with Steve Rifkin too. But that's when he had the big office with the all white off of Melrose, you know, Loud.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that, if he ever got at you.
Say again.
No, I was going to ask you that, if anybody ever got it, you wanted to, you know what I'm saying, sign you to a deal. But you said you was talking to Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I've had situations, but I was never, like, you really can't sign me. Like, even back then, you can't. I was a veteran from the streets, but you got to remember, my first office in Houston, I think I was, like, 21.
Wow.
And I'm talking about an office with a studio that we recorded all of the Ghetto Boys shit at and all of the Scarface original album. Like, I was already
that,
I was already retiring from the street at that age. And I was already, like, glued to Jay Prince and Chief and BW and all of our God rest NC Trahan and George Trahan. So, like, super gangsters, my nigga, like, you know, those two guys was just like super duper, like another level type of black superhero type of dudes. But you young, you don't realize what you around. You kind of do, but you don't really gauge it until you can compare it to other shit. And that didn't happen 2 years later. But nah, they taught me right, man. They taught me principles and honor, especially Jay Prince, man, like putting God first. And you know, we would be in church. We would go from we owned the club, and then we'd go to church. He would really teach us these principles, man, and we would watch him live by them, too. So that's powerful, man. Like, people don't – I never see nobody add God to gangster until him. And it works because God is gangster. God is talking about he loved the powerful shepherds that protect the sheep, man. That's gangster.
Is there heaven for a G?
That's what Jay Prince and the whole family, Big Chief and all, that's what those guys were. They was like protectors, and they allowed you to eat. Like, you know, you see a lot of these other deals, man. Like, anybody say any bullshit like Rap-A-Lot don't pay and all that, man, fuck you. I'm saying it to you right now. I hope you're listening. I've watched this man give checks the size of fucking Texas to niggas. Multiple niggas. And I watched them fuck their money off and then come back and act like he owns something. Yeah, I said it. B2, nigga. You know what's up with me.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that Jay did him good. You know what I'm saying? And that's just, you know, I guess it's an unfortunate thing if you get a lot of money and you blow it or whatever and then you come back. I hear that a lot too, from different.
Well, money's
know,
tricky,
artists.
Man. It's a tricky. You know, she's a tricky bitch.
How did you handle
bitch,
it so
man,
young,
though,
B2? How did you? Not
I didn't.
To cut you off, but
I
how,
really
how,
didn't. I didn't fucking know.
Oh,
I didn't know shit. I just had it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't fucking know. I had every car, every you know, fucked every bitch. Like, hate to talk like that, but doesn't you know? Just was like that. Like, we had to run in the city. You gotta understand. All of the most powerful dudes came together to build Rap-A-Lot. Everybody had powerful reputations. We just all came together like fucking Megatron or Optimus Prime. What them shit says? The Transformers. You know what I'm saying? Like, we came together like that. And it was beautiful, man. It was fucking for like Willie D already was the man in the streets and on the stage. I remember Chop Chop used to run with like the niggas. These are hardcore guys. These are not. These aren't rappers, man. They just can rap. You understand?
What were your first impressions of Gangsta Nip when you heard him?
Love his shit, man. He recorded a lot of stuff at that studio, too, BPM Righteous, man. I mean, and plus, Nip's a good friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's always been a good brother to me. Like, I always look at people more like that. Like, I don't give a fuck about that music shit. Like, I love music, and I make great music if I try to go at it and really pay attention and be a student to it, which I haven't really done, and I just started doing again. Like, I can really produce good stuff, But I don't give a fuck about that. If I'm going to be around you, I care about your principles as a man. You feel me?
Yeah.
And he got good principles. Like, he and I, yeah, that, I fuck with that. Like, I don't give a fuck about how famous you are. I ain't never cared about that. I always had every car niggas wanted. I always had every bitch niggas wanted. I already had the big chains on my neck. I had the big rings going across my hand and all gold and diamonds. Like, I had all that. When niggas wanted that, I had it. So
yeah,
all that shit y'all want to rap for, I already got. So niggas will definitely back that story up. I'm talking 20, 30 years. Like, I always been who I am right now. I never was somebody else, and then I start rapping and made the world believe I'm this. Nah, it was. Like, I had to rap. I had to do music just for therapy, and I had to figure out how to move to the next level in life legally.
Yeah.
So it was that. It was more that for me.
Yeah, because we might not even be having this conversation today. You know what I'm saying? So it is.
Let me tell you something. It's a miracle that we having this conversation, because you got to remember, I started out in Newark, New Jersey. You know, I just talked with my big bro. Shout out to my big bro, Al-Saman Sawab, man. His mom's just passed, man. She went to be with Allah. Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, man. And shout out to R.I.P. to Abdullah, man. Sawab. The whole Sawab tribe, man. Like, I come from that. And if you know growing up there, like, that's Whitney Houston. It's rough where I'm from, bro. Like, the fact that we produce Whitney Houston is mind-blowing, if you know where we're from. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, Newark is,
like, we're from
a very rough
place. Exactly. So between East Orange and Newark, that's where I grew up at. I was born at East Orange General Hospital. So I survived that. Then to come to a place like Houston, which I'm not there now, but to be there and then to connect with Jay Prince, like, God put me in the perfect hands for my wild energy. When I think about it, that was really a blessing from God that we connected with him, because our energy could go in good directions. And we still strong, tough guys, and everybody around us is tough guys. But when we get into it with each other, we put on boxing gloves and fight it. Like, you really got to be a tough guy at Rap-A-Lot. You can't just be talking that shit. No.
So you guys would settle it with gloves, similar to how Master P.
Whatever. The whole thing is, get it out of your system. Be brothers. Like, when we made up our mind, we was going to be successful, man. All that, like, NC, God rest his soul, used to say, all that ho shit had to go to the wayside. No ho shit, man. What's up, bro? We got, let's get it, let's get to getting at it.
Get it out of the way and then get
back
to work.
The brotherhood. Exactly.
Yeah.
So these niggas today can talk that shit. They just throw their money around, put on a few chains, pull out some guns. Nah, man. You know, we used to scrap, nigga. We ain't killing our brothers. He could get a fair one. But them principles and rules done shifted and changed, and shit is all fucked up. Like, now you want to kill your brother. Nah, we ain't kill our brother. That was our brother, man. We'll just scrap with him, and he'll give you a second round if you need that a month or two later. You feel me? But that's your brother. You don't do that to your brother, man. That's the problem, man.
No, not
the principles and the rules is all twisted.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But no, Willie D is a great fighter, you know, amateur boxer the whole nine.
Yeah, I've seen him many a round outside of the ring. Believe me, he's nice with the man. Believe that.
Yeah, I only seen him, you know, whoop the shit out of Melly Mel, but I can imagine.
I've seen him in action, period. Like, plus, if you know, like, we talked to each other probably about 3 weeks ago. We probably stayed on the phone for 2 hours, man. Facts. Like, everybody, I talk to everybody still, man. I'm cool with everybody.
It's a bond, a common brotherhood for Rap-A-Lot. You know, I've noticed that. Like we just interviewed DJ Vicious Lee, and he was talking about the early days with you in the studio.
That's literally right now my engineer for this O Murder project that I'm doing. That's my engineer. He's on the team for what I'm doing right now.
Hell yeah, man.
Like, that, yeah, the brotherhood is important. Like I say to anybody out there listening, man, if you got a brotherhood, stick who you raise with, you stays with, man. The game don't respect you if you move around too much, man. Because what does that say about your loyalty as a man? See, only whores camp jump, homie.
Yeah, that's real.
Only whores camp jump. Real men make up their mind. They plant the flag in the ground. They pour concrete around that shit. And they build from there, man. And they hold it down and protect what they just put in the ground.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just it's like a different mindset. Like whores jump around to where it look good at. That's what hoes do.
Oh, you see a lot of
them. You respect that from hoes. You respect that, but you don't expect that from men. Men supposed to say, "I'm fucking with these niggas and ride it out until it's over with." And that's what we did. Really? Then the syndicate the same way. They embraced me into their brotherhood. So that's what we did. I just hung out with Ice. He just called me yesterday. Like, the whole thing is, we don't stop. Like, was it ever supposed to end? Was there supposed to be a time where we don't like each other and all that weird homo shit or something? But I don't want to do that.
No, man. You gotta keep the peace and keep the unity.
Ice and I have never had an argument. Jay Prince and I have never had an argument, ever.
There's a lot of respect there, man. You know, a lot of mutual respect between two brothers.
I guess. And I'm so appreciative, man. Like, I'm going to tell you, I could almost say we didn't know who Big Homie would become. But actually, if you knew him back then, you kind of could think that. He probably would be who he is now. Because he really was that then. It's weird, man.
Yeah, it's like you and him started off on top almost in a way, you know?
Well, not really on top. I was always behind them. I was always not only younger than them, but I always looked up to them. Just him,
yeah.
OG Dewey, with what he was able to do in music and just being a strong force of like a big brother that you could go to and, you know, had your back. And like, those guys were that, man. Big Chief. And those guys were that. Like, I never had a father. So those were my dads. You feel me? Ice-T. Like, those people. Al-Samad Sawab. Like, I just put pieces of all of them, man. That was my dad.
Yeah. That's a
and they led me right, like, and I'm thankful because I could have chose the wrong fathers out here, or big homies as we call them. I could have chose the wrong ones. And like, I remember I hung out with Sugar a couple of times. Like, that wasn't the best experience. Like, I remember one time we was in the Murdoch building in Beverly Hills, and I'm about to leave. If you ever know Death Row and Interscope, when you come up on the elevators, Death Row is to the right and Interscope's to the left. Interscope got this crazy walking, they got this crazy weird wood looking shit. Say Interscope, that was the ugliest fucking sign. Hey, say that, man. Shout out to Jimmy Ivan, I guess, but that fucking sign was ugly, Jimmy. But anyway, basically we standing out there at the elevators, man. Five dudes jump off the elevator, straight gangsters. Like, straight and rich gangsters, too, because I know what money and gangster look like. And it's like, yo, what's up, homie? They looking straight at Shug. I'm looking at Shug. He looking at me. I'm looking at them. I'm like, if we got to do it right here, I said, you good, bro? He was like, yeah, I'm good. He ended up taking them to the Interscope side to sit, like, in the conference room. And if you watch moments like that up there, you had to wonder to yourself, how long can this shit go on?
Yeah.
It's literally two different powerful worlds right across the hall from each other, but one is dangerous and one is absolutely forthright and white and, hi, this is Interscope Records, and you're like, yo, this shit can't coexist. Like, you have real niggas up there wrestling in the fucking in conference rooms at Death Row. And, yo, it was ill, man.
Jimmy Iovine.
Shout out to Big Jake, too, because the last time I was there, Big Jake took me in the hallway and we was talking. And that's the dude that got his head blown off in Atlanta. Shout out to Big Jake, man. R.I.P., man. He was a good dude. The energy that I felt from him, I didn't get to hang out with him a lot, but I met him two times. And the last time I was at Death Row when that shit happened, Snoop was in the hallway. He was talking to Snoop. Snoop was pissed about some shit. Just so you niggas remember what time frame this was, this when Suge Wife had the green tail Benz, and Snoop had just got like a Lexus coupe or some shit like that. This around that time. But anyway, Faye Durovey was there at Interscope too, because I went up there one morning when Suge left that morning. I had just came right after he left to go get Pop. Facts. You can ask Faye Durovey. He was there that morning. Took, I think, $2 million or something like that. Cash. Private jet. We ain't got him. Facts.
Damn.
Yeah, I've been there for a lot of moments, man. I smoke weed with Easy. I've had a wonderful hip hop life, man.
Man, if you smoke weed with Easy, I know that was a very, very high experience, man. What was Easy smoking on at that time? Easy had weed choices.
Easy, the first dispensary that I ever been to. Easy would put out four different bags of four different kinds of shit that would blow your head back.
Wow.
And let me tell you about Easy loved the smoking. The way niggas know I ain't bullshitting, if real niggas know Easy, they know Easy like to smoke these black licorice sticks. That was his shit to smoke in. These black licorice paper. So his blunts would be black. Facts.
Oh. Yeah, man. So he had multiple kinds of weed at that time. He must have been getting it from Humboldt
County. And let me tell you what's crazy. Let me tell you what's crazy. Easy would sell you a sack, nigga. He's a multi-millionaire, but he would sell you a sack.
He's
I love
weed
that.
On him.
Like, there's something about that for me being from the street. Like, I went hand in hand. I come from the streets, man. Like, the corner. For me to see that is just give it to myself. That shit was
beautiful. Got a multi-platinum, groundbreaking Godfather against
No,
rap.
No, you're
all
not listening to me. Easy was worth... When I was hanging out with him, I probably was hanging out with him about 4 or 5 months before he died. And
oh, wow.
Easy was so rich, man. Like, Easy was so rich. He used to have his little wallet in his pocket. He'd pull it out. That shit had about, I don't know, about 20 credit cards in it. And, like, all them shits had unlimited limits and shit. This nigga would, when we would pull up, we'd pull up 10 or 15 cars. Easy would go to, in L.A., Easy would go to every... Like, you know how you pull up to a gas station, they got all those pumps? Easy would go to every pump and stick one of his cards in and just pay everybody, fill everybody's shit up. Ah.
Wow.
He was very, like, Easy was on another level with it, man. But he still would sell you a sack.
That's dope as hell.
That shit. Exactly.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Easy, man. He was another level. And he was hurt, because I've been around him. I actually... sat in and did a book with him while he was doing a book. And me and Rashad Al-Amin, shout out to Rashad Al-Amin. And I'm going to tell you, Easy was hurt, man. He wouldn't probably never just admit it, but he was hurt, man. He missed Dre, man. Like, he really did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could tell. Like,
well,
there was a spirit of
somber
of pain. Huh?
I know he wanted to. He was trying to get NWA back together in the process of it. But let me ask you this, man, because I know you know people.
Nah,
he
wasn't.
Game.
When I was hanging out with him, he wasn't really trying to get NWA back together. Let me tell you why. Because Easy was showing me shit. Like, Easy used to have his huge briefcase. Anybody know Easy? Like, anything I'm telling you about Easy right now, niggas. You can fact check it just by the way I'm telling it, because these are details you have to be around him to know. he had this huge briefcase. I think it was like some James Bond shit, like can't get in it without a key type of shit, right? The handcuff type of briefcase was big. And he opened it up and he showed me contracts. He was talking shit. Yeah, I make more money off fucking the crime. This is for the crime. This is right when the crime was about to come out. He's like, yeah, I make more money than Dre do on the records. And he was talking big shit. Like, he was still hurt. So, no, I don't think that was I don't think that was the time. Yeah, I think that was after they finished the deal with Suge and everybody. The terms were already set because he had the contracts in the briefcase. You feel me?
Yeah.
He said, I make more money off the Chronic than Dre. Then he started playing for me different beats from the Chronic that Dre stole. He said Dre stole from him. These was his ideas. And, like, I mean, he was hurt, man. You know what I'm saying? He really was hurt. He wasn't happy with the situation. But I'm a real street nigga, so I could see through that. And I remember being in L.A., when they were riding around in the Samurai together, just them two. They were like brothers. I seen that shit too. And now we talking 86. 85, some shit like that, when I was like 19. That's the first time I ever went to L.A. I went out there with Venom, who ended up becoming Raheem the Vigilante's DJ, my nigga Dre. That nigga was from 169th Street, Center View Pie Group, nigga, and that nigga will remind you of that shit and everything else that you can assume from fucking Menace Society and motherfucking Boys in the Hood that you would assume came with it. He would had that for you, too, and the whole crew. Shout out to Gunny and all them niggas. Them was some wild niggas, but real niggas and good guys.
Mm.
But that was my first taste of L.A. I was like... I'm from the East Coast. L.A. was a whole different animal. It was a whole different animal, like you, because it's so beautiful, man, but it'll pop off, nigga, lose your life like that.
L.A. is
while you with them.
It's like Chicago, you know what I'm saying, it's deeply rooted.
Same thing, yeah, same situation. If you really think about it historically, most of the cats from L.A. is from Chicago or Mississippi, or they went from Mississippi and Louisiana to Chicago, and they went to L.A. Like, these are really the same people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The migrations, like the black migrations.
It goes back, you know what I'm saying, decades and decades. Hell, my grandfather, he's fucking Czechoslovakian. I remember him telling me about kids cutting turf back in those days. You know, 1910.
Yeah.
Oh, this shit was just crazy. There's a lot of history there. But, you know what I'm saying, you being around it, how did you navigate and survive all that? Because like you said, man, you're from the streets. You know what I'm saying?
God got me through, man. I mean, definitely God. But if you had to break it down in human terms, like my instincts that my big brother Al Samad and my big brother Dula, Abdullah Sawab, RIP, that they gave me originally. Because they my cousins that first really introduced me to the streets of East Orange and North. They the ones that did it. And they was knocking everything out and stomping niggas. And we like 9, 10. You're not hearing me, bro.
And got respect. And,
Nah, we was little monsters, man. I remember one time we had a bus ride from, there's a park where I'm from called Raleigh Park. Real niggas like my nigga Tress. Shout out to Tress with Naughty by Nation. Me and him talk every once in a while, too. But it's a park in our neighborhood called Raleigh Park. This is where the wild niggas hang out. You got to be a real nigga just to walk through that motherfucker. Don't even walk through there. You ain't real certain time of day. Don't even walk through there. But my family is well-respected. My tribe, the Sawabs, they well-respected. Dula and Samad, well-respected. So I'm their cousin, so that I got that respect. You feel me? Nah, make no mistake, man. Where I'm from is like, They took us, they had a bus ride to Great Adventures, like that Six Flags shit. Took a whole bus full of people from Raleigh Park, from my neighborhood. I'm talking about the bus pack. We having the time of our lives, talking shit, having a great time. Nigga, only the bus came back with maybe 10 people, man. Everybody else got locked up. That's where I'm from.
From the East Coast to the West Coast.
They
down
went through.
South.
They went through. We went through. We went through motherfucking Great Adventures like a wave, nigga, just stealing everything. And everybody had them little baseball bats. We was fucking niggas up with them little baseball bats. It was crazy, man. It was like, where I'm from is just really a wild place. Like, it can be, New York is right there, so you look at that extreme wealth, but then you're living in extreme poverty.
Yeah.
So, you like, it, I don't know, it just do something to you. Like, then you got to remember, where I'm from is that's where they killed Dutch Schultz at. That's where Lucky Luciano, all those guys, where you think they was at? It was right there, where I'm from. So
yeah.
They believe me when I tell you, they motherfucking, they energy, it's still there.
Man, it's
right,
it's
now,
crazy.
Right,
speak
now.
About Schultz, man.
Honorable
because...
Elijah Muhammad's energy is still there. Noble Drew Ali energy, the Morris Science Temple energy in Newark is still there. So when you meet somebody from Newark, you dealing with an intellectual savage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, my brother, my grandfather's brother was killed in 1931 by Capone's men in Cicero. You know, Capone and my grandfather, he worked
That's
at Western
Electric.
That's where
they did the operation from, Cicero, right next to Chicago.
Yeah, he worked at a Western Electric, which is down the street from this place called the Alton Hotel, which was a place where Capone would go with his hoes. And he would see him from time to time, knowing that this man had something to do with his brother's death. He couldn't do shit because they'd wipe out
couldn't
the whole fucking
him.
Family. Yeah, couldn't
yeah,
touch him. Because they'd wipe. But he, he wanted to. You know.
I mean, you could. Let me tell you something about this gangster shit. People, there's rules, but there's certain rules that trump other rules. It may require a lot of killing.
But
you better make your statement very quickly. Like, if you look at The Godfather, that last scene when he killed all the bosses with precision like that, well-plotted, well-planned with precision, that's what made him be able to throw his weight around. And I own this casino now, and this is mine, and you got to do this because I said so. And that's why it was after that, if you look at the movie. After that, you do what I say or you get what they got. Nobody ever made a bold move like that. That was the movie part of it, too. One man killed every boss. You know what kind of fear that strikes in everybody? You'd capo de tutti capi, without question. It's you. Because you ain't got
just
nobody.
Like Paul Castellano
getting
rubbed out by Gotti. You know,
oh,
that
trust
was a
you,
huge
man.
Move.
And all they henchmen going to fall in line. They with it. Especially if it's money and you coming at them with how much they're going to make. They already know what you're capable of. They with it. So it's certain moves that trump other moves. Like, it's just how you do it. It's all about how you do it. Like, and you better be, you really, really better have better relationships than your opponent. And I mean worldwide ones. I don't mean just, it's some James Bond shit, man.
It's
gangster shit,
it's
like
art
some
of
Jedi
war.
Shit, bro.
You got to be fully prepared. I got the homie Sin from France. I know he's got a question or two for you. Man, huge, huge honor talking to you. I want to talk a little bit about Merita, too, before we go. Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, I'm Bone Twice.
I look forward to coming to Paris, man. My real name is Jean-Pierre Francois Maddox, man. I look forward to coming to Paris,
already?
Man. That's my real name,
yeah.
Jean-Pierre Francois, my real name.
Yes, sir. yeah.
And my son's name
you
and my grandson's name. Shout out to my grandson and my son, the first, the second, and the third.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the grandson, man.
Yeah, Jean-Pierre Francois Maddox the second and Jean-Pierre Francois Maddox the third. Shout out, man. We coming at y'all two more times, man. Get ready, man.
Oh yeah,
that's
from DJ Paul. DJ Paul have a French name. DJ Paul have a French name like Paul Beauregard.
Well, you know the reason my father named us that was because of the Haiti Revolution. Like, he wanted me to have a French name because he wanted to remind me of how those black boys kicked Napoleon's ass. But that's another story.
Okay, right. Yeah,
we'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah, Yakov, on you have to write Roman Viola, but was very graphic. It's like a premonition of what happened now. And can you tell us about seven executioners? It's what happened now with Big Floyd, in fact.
I mean, the truth is that song came about. It's so funny because, like, I had this really nice house that I had a few houses around town, a few little spots, but I had this one house that I rented. It was nice, man, with the jacuzzi, the game room, the Pac-Man machines, all that. It was really nice. And I was only like 22 at the time. And I still parties there and stuff like that. So Bun B and 20 to Life Black, shout out to 20 to Life Black, and Big Russell from Big Time, that was responsible for all the DJ Screw shit. Like, all those guys and Botany Boys, all those guys. And I had a slab there too, like a convertible slab. And shout out to Meat from South Park, my nigga Big Meat. Incredible fucking car, man. Like Burgundy with the, oh man, that's another story too. Anyway, sitting on the fucking 84. Oh man, don't get them elbows. You don't get me started. But anyway, where was I, man? I rented the house. Come by. So I had just started working on my MPC 60. I was one of the first dudes to have an MPC 60. I think me and Fresh Gordy was the only two to have them at the time. And so I start playing around with it. I start getting pretty good at the shit. So Bun B and them was like, yo, you getting good at this shit. So I was like, I'm gonna make a for real beat. So I start making for real beats. So they was all over there, and I made a tight ass beat. And the funny thing is, I made a mistake with the machine. If you listen to that 7 execution where it go boom, boom, ah, boom, 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 ah, when it does that shit, that was totally a mistake. I don't even know. Fucking machine just did that shit on his own. But I was like, this shit sound great, so I kept it. But basically, they all came by, man, and we just all got together and wrote it all out. Everybody came together, wrote it. My brother Rick played a huge part in this. Shout out to Gangsta Rick. We're original Royal Flush, original Rap-A-Lot Mafia. And we just put it together, man. And once Rick got a hold of it, like with his level of writing, because I think he wrote like three or four people's parts on that shit. I wrote my part. I think he wrote like three other people's parts on that, except for Bun B. I know Bun B wrote his shit. I ain't gonna do Bun like that. Bun always been masterful with his pen. But I think everybody else, man, Rick might have wrote their shit. Facts.
Yeah. It was that time you recorded with Vicious Lee, BPM Records, or it was after
this Say album? Say that again.
Oh, when you recorded with Vicious Lee at BPM, it was before this album, in fact?
Yeah, when we did the BPM stuff, that was way back. Like, you're talking way back.
Yeah.
You know, that was actually Doug King. Shout out to Doug King. Doug King and I owned that together with the blessing of Jay Prince. Because Jay Prince had money and the equipment there, too. Like, we had two studios there eventually, like one on the left and then one on the right. But the main one was on the left. But a lot of that equipment was financed, too, by Jay Prince. So I can't leave him out of it, but... Doug King, he's always been a big brother. Like, Jay Prince want to see you be as big as him if you're serious about it. You feel me? He never been a hater. But I could definitely tell you with his blessing, we was able to really get that shit cracked. We did some Gangsta Nip records there. Shout out to 3-2 RIP to him. That's my little brother too, from the Convicts and Black Monks. The Convicts and the Black Monks, huh?
Yeah, shout out to Raheem, too.
Shout out to Raheem, too. Definitely, definitely Raheem. But that That's all our brothers back then. You talking about Reddy Red, R.I.P., Bushwick Bill, R.I.P. Like, it's so many. Like, to y'all, it's like history. To me, it's just my life, and it's like it was yesterday. It don't even seem like it was that long ago.
Yeah. Did you know Big Floyd personally, the guy who was murdered by pigs? Like, Big Floyd was
Big Floyd personally. I didn't know him personally,
okay.
But I can tell you this.
Okay.
Steven Jackson, shout out to Steven Jackson. That's a real dude right there, bro. That's a real dude. And Bun B, and he are like brothers. And I can definitely tell you, man, like, we not with that shit no more, bro. Like, they basically awaken a sleeping giant finally. What you have to understand about black people is this. All we want is love and unity, baby. That's all we want.
Yeah.
We ain't mad at what y'all did. We feel sorry for white people that feel that way. If they think that way, we feel sorry for them. Because what's a life, man, if you got to spend it hating? You got to spend it eating.
Yeah.
Did that lady look happy, man, that just did that shit in Central Park? Did she look at that video? She look happy to you? That dog.
She looks like a miserable human
being. That fucking dog. Right, exactly. So why would we black people ain't like that. You been around black people. You know, you had a barbecue with us, time of your fucking life, man. Everybody dancing, man. The grandmama's dancing. Everybody smiling. The food is flowing. Look, man, we come from, you got to understand, we black people, bro. We come from that Kemet. We come from that Egypt, baby. We from Africa, where there's an abundance of everything.
Yeah, I want to say shout out to
there's
the homie
a billion fucking trees.
Not to
cut
you off,
like, for a leopard skin, there's a million fucking.
I want to say,
it's
come
like
on, man.
We,
from,
yes,
we don't have that.
It's like,
let me say this to both of y'all, man.
That's a real one.
Whoever your listeners are, that's white or black or whatever color, we don't have that in our hearts, bro. We could fuck some. I don't know too many motherfuckers that could stand in front of a black man and put their hands up and live through that. Let's just keep it real. But the truth is, man, the system is putting their fucking, pardon my pun, they fucking knee on our necks for no reason at all, man. Just because we're us, no reason at all.
It's a damn shame.
I guess I don't know. Like Public Enemy, my man Chuck D. Shout out to Chuck D. Cause him and Ice is real cool. I see Chuck up at the mansion all the time. Shout out to Chuck D. But like they said, fear of a black planet. But please understand,
like,
we're not with that. Like we can't listen, man. You can't call it reverse racism with us because we don't want your destruction. We want to see you live, baby. We want to see you do good. We want to see you feed your family, baby. We want to see you be happy. We just tired of only watching you do it.
Yeah, it's like Indus Kamitkosh book. What's I never told you in history class? I know. I think you know about this book. It's the back in the day.
What you say about what?
Oh, I talked about a book was named by Indus Kamitkosh. What they never told you in history class. It's like a Ivan Fransachima or Rino Koreshidi.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
History.
You know, people are really
tell you bullshit.
Yeah, people are waking up, man. You have to understand, we're not racist, bro. Like, black and white is, to me, like, this is what New York taught me and New Jersey taught me. And black and white is a mindset, bro. Either you have a mindset to unite with the oppressed because you feel their pain, or you don't give a fuck. There's no in between. There's
only
one or the other. So when you look at it that way, y'all appear to be my brothers. Time will show that. But when I say I'm down with you, I'm going to fuck something up for you. I'm not going to let nothing touch you. So when I say you're my brother, I'm going to be on your front line if they get to fucking with white people one day. I'm going to be like, nah, you ain't fucking with my niggas if it came to that. You understand? We just want that back. Yeah. If you call me your brother, like Tyrese just wrote something, a really wonderful piece. Y'all should check it out. He just put it up. If I'm really your brother, show me. Why am I the only one posting about this shit? Oh, you my brother, man. You white, so post your shit. But it felt beautiful to watch Minneapolis come together like that, of all races standing with one American flag. That was fucking beautiful. And I hate to say something like the destruction of government property is beautiful, because that's nothing beautiful about that. But you gotta push back at some fucking point, man. We just gonna keep getting murdered?
Yeah,
look,
got
these are warriors that understand how warriors think. Don't tell me we shouldn't push back. Well, you know damn well you woulda. Fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah.
If we gonna act like warriors, then let's talk like warriors. You take one, we get one.
If you see it happening, if there's one person already filming it, then there needs to be three or four people taking the fucking cop off of the dude. You know, I don't want to see people run in and get killed. I'm not advocating that, but I am advocating save a life if you can.
Bro,
you
saying exactly what my thoughts were before we even started this interview. Like, if I was dead, what would I have done? I think I would have had to do a tackle on that cop, man.
Take him off or something.
Because we talking about seconds. Every second was precious. If you listen to the beautiful white lady, got to give her credit, man. Shout out to whoever she is. I don't know her name, but I seen the love in her face. I felt her energy through the clip, just like I felt the energy of the dude that was talking. Like, they were really pleading, trying to be nice to this man, this evil fucking demon of a police officer. They telling you, the man is, you already got him. He already handcuffed. You got a hog tie. Like, just get off his neck. Like, but see, that's the arrogance
that they got right now.
Let me tell you something. What do they say?
Hand
the pride
in his pocket.
Comes before the fall. Don't they say that? Don't they say the pride comes before the fall?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna apply that philosophy to Donald Trump, and I'm gonna apply that philosophy to the police departments nationwide in America if they don't get it together. Because the Fraternal Order of Police, like, y'all got to stop protecting them to the point that all of y'all are looking like demons. And they can say what they want. They can come and try to kill me because I know how they play. But the whole thing is, at the end of the day, do you really want to lose the public trust? Like, that's what you're fucking up. Even other police officers feel me when I say this, I'm sure. You're slowly losing complete public trust. And once that goes, you get Minneapolis. Period.
Yeah, absolutely. People are afraid to call the cops for serious situations because they might get killed. And they have. People have called
the cops, but they becoming like the shit is, the paradigm is shifting to the point, who is the criminal, bro? Who the fuck is the criminal? You take our money now? You run our credit cards without telling? You go on our iPhone with breaking codes? Who the fuck is? Oh, man, this shit is Nazi Germany, cuz.
No habeas corpus, due process, none of that exists.
None of that, bro.
Man, you're right. They can do whatever the fuck they want, and it's a damn shame. You know, but like you said, it was beautiful seeing all these people come together. That's what Chicago taught me once, twice. I grew up in a melting pot. We all went to school together. We all played on the playgrounds together. We all learned about each other's culture.
Exactly.
You know,
we respected each other.
We respected. Like, if I went to a party.
But you know what?
That's
really America, though, bro.
Yeah.
That's what they don't want to see. This is what they want us against each other, bro. But when you look at that Minneapolis shit, the most beautiful thing about it is everybody riding on the same fucking page.
Yeah.
And we not with this oppression, man. Like, y'all work for us. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
look,
I know the police got a hard job. I'm not here to just bash them motherfuckers completely. But come on, man. Like, the shit that. Look, man, when you show me a white dude that they killed by mistake, I'll have more compassion for their situation. Like, obviously, you must either not have the same value system for us, or you must just be in situations where our life don't really mean a lot to you, and you just stressed out, so now you're overdoing it, like you're watching some of those movies where they just stressed out. Or maybe they need to have, like, a rotation where they get some rest and they get away for a minute and come back fresh or something with a clear mind. I don't know. I ain't got all the answers, but I'm trying to have them before somebody else die, man. And I think they should, too. But they don't even want to have the answers. Like, fuck y'all, we killed another one, and what? And, yeah, we're sorry. We're going to look at the footage. We're still not sure. We don't want to fucking go right to speculation. We want to give a moment to review the testimony and the full tapes and all bullshit, man. And, like, motherfuckers tired of that, bro. Like,
keep playing.
They don't understand. They need to understand. This is America. Now, don't get me wrong. I've seen all type of I study history. I know about all the uprisings and all the crazy shit that happened all over the world. Look like some of that shit about to happen again. But the reality is, I don't know what type of estimates they did in their little banking, on their banking, because that's who fucking shit up, the bankers. I don't know who the fuck they banking calculators, what the fuck going on, but they miscalculated Americans, homie. Y'all motherfuckers need to punch some more of them keys or some shit, because we ain't with it. And trust me when I tell you, you dealing with an army already. Because as you've seen in Minneapolis, motherfuckers will very quickly get on the same page, bro. And the white supremacists ain't as deep as you think they are. We'll deal with them the first couple months, and then we'll be dealing with you.
Yeah, that's I'm not saying
American, real Americans, the melting pot, all the colors in one big cultural melting pot, sharing in each other's cultures, respecting each other's fucking advancements, and having each other's fucking back. Real American shit, you dig?
We need that,
like,
man. The future of our children.
That shit. That shit you just saw in Minneapolis, that shit. That's what you don't fucking want, bro. And that's what you're about to get. Trust me.
And that's why, you know, people got to come together now more than ever. Because, like I said, it's for the future of our children. They're the ones that got
to. How hard would it be
to
have community-based policing? Yeah. How hard would that be? Like, to do something the way you put people in that neighborhood that know that neighborhood. Like, how hard is that? Like, look, man, they wanted to be on some Gestapo shit. They say the pride before the fall. That's why I said that. Because now they
operate with fucking impunity.
They operate with fucking impunity and arrogance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love to put the arrogance in your face. Look at the orange anus in charge of the whole show. Look at how he does it. He's telling people to straight up fucking not wear a mask.
Like
this
fucker, man, we were supposed to go to outer space today. You think this fucker was trying to rally the country around them advancements in science? You think this fucker is trying to bring the country together? He ain't never been trying to bring the country together. It's to his advantage as long as all of us is losing our fucking mind. This shit is like that movie from England, man, The Kingsman, man. With Samuel Jackson.
It's the fucking Twilight Zone.
Same crazy shit, bro.
It's insanity,
man.
These people are brainwashed. I heard about it, but I know what you're talking about, though. It's like the fucking Twilight Zone.
Go peep that shit out, man. They got us fighting while they fucking up in the tower, cracking the fuck up.
Divide and conquer. Yeah. Oh, yeah, divide and conquer, man. That's the oldest trick in the book to how to keep a whole civilization under your rule. And that's what they're doing. They're doing a covert operation in broad daylight. They're doing it behind the scenes, but yet they're doing it right in your face at the same time. And there's not a goddamn thing we can do about it unless we come together. But you know what? You know what the problem is? Too much division, man. Too much fucking division.
What we saw in Minneapolis was a good thing. You know what? Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Like,
you know,
I felt like
them,
you just said, I kind of felt that. Right. But that, I hate to say it like that because Hope shouldn't have to come over busted up police cars. Damn.
Yeah.
That's
where Hope's
coming from? What the fuck?
Well,
it is Hope because it shows me that my brothers aren't just brothers. That is you and my French guy on the phone right now. Like, we on the same page. We of a mindset that says, okay, we all want to rock with one another. We want a good lives, and we just
want
to go over here and protect
our kids
over
to
here.
Dance together. And,
man. We ain't really tripping, but if you come fuck with us, we will get at you. Other than that, we cool, and we ain't trying to go to other countries and fuck shit up and dethrone motherfuckers and start coups. Hey, come on, man.
Yeah, they do that and to get ready for it here. You know, they go practice in Panama and different places. And that's all
they try to kill my homie Jay Prince, man. They try to kill Jay Prince, bro. Come on,
horrible.
Man. They try to fucking kill him.
City under siege, man. The
shit.
No what people don't
and
realize.
Them two dudes, the Schumacher and the other fucking Chad Scott, them fucking DEA agents. Now they both locked up or about to do major time for evil-ass crimes. But if they really was locked up for what they killed a bunch of people, man, with a badge, with an American badge. Come on, man. White supremacy is in all – that shit is poison. That poison has infiltrated everything, man.
Yeah.
We got to cut that shit out, that cancer the fuck out. Like, we all need to see that at the table. Here's the funny thing about it, bro. And I hope your listeners hear this. You know how powerful we would be if we really allowed everybody a chance?
Yeah.
Like, imagine how powerful we would be, five times as powerful. God damn it.
Yeah,
you
man.
You know how our economy would really look
there's
like
enough
if
for everybody.
That dude in the hood. The dude in the hood that got the hats on the corner that's doing, I don't know, 400 or 500 a day, you know what he would do with 50,000?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the chances aren't there. They need to be there. We need to empower ourselves as Americans, every color. As long as you wake up early every morning and you go home late, you deserve a fucking opportunity, man.
Man, you need
the
to run for
line
president.
Bottom line is those opportunities aren't being provided for the dumbest fucking reason, white supremacy. So that means you're stagnating a whole fucking portion of the nation from being as great as we really could be. Stupid motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So let me put it to you that way. Let me appeal to your the side that's about commerce in your brain. Maybe you'll look at it better. Let's really, be great, man. Not that red hat bullshit. Let's really be great because everybody got an opportunity and we all respecting each other's cultures and learning from them. Can't nobody fuck with that. None on earth is the best business model on earth, and we ain't even fucking using it.
Knowledge is power, man, and we need to empower each other as much as we can. And they don't want that. The ones in charge, they don't want us to come together. Like George Carlin said, man, he laid that shit out for everybody. These
George
motherfuckers
Carlin was the
don't
man.
Care about
George
you.
George Carlin was the fucking man, wasn't he?
Oh, dude, and you know what? When he died, those bastards were saying he's burning in hell, and those conservative Christian fucks, you know, because he told the truth. He told the fucking truth, man. That's why
that's
my three favorite comedians, George
that's
Carlin, Richard Pryor,
start.
And Red Fox. Those are the
right.
three best, in my opinion. So,
I mean,
definitely,
I would definitely have to agree with you on that. I may have some other picks if I thought about it deep, but I can't argue with that lineup,
Chappelle
man. Especially
there, maybe,
George Carlin.
You know, but yeah, those are the three guys I grew up off of. I was fortunate to have my parents expose me to that shit at a young age, and them records and stuff like that. And I know
George Carlin was to me, like he was one of the first dudes. He's just so knowledgeable, man. Like he was just breaking the game down. Like his shit is classic now because it's so accurate.
Yeah. A lot of shit he said is going on right now.
We living
you know,
it right
yeah.
now.
Oh yeah. You know.
And the whole thing,
we
man.
Need
that shit gotta
like,
stop,
we need
man.
Like
it's
that.
Enough. It's enough for all of them.
And finally, is there heaven for?
Can be happy. Like, how sick is that? When you really think about that, let's say it's these seven groups of people in a club, And there's this huge buffet table, right? And it has all, every fucking kind of food that you could ever enjoy. And only two of the seven people that are of one race go over to the buffet table and eat whatever they want, even though it's enough for everybody. Every time other people come over there, they give them these looks and pull out guns on them. That's America.
Yeah. Horrible. And, you know,
it's enough for everybody. You would
like
rather let the food spoil than share the shit, bro. Like, that's when you know you kind of sick. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like I was saying, man, I commend people like yourself for using your platform. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't got no platform, man. They'll kill my black ass, and if that's what's gonna happen.
Well, I'm talking about
it.
With your music. You know,
No, it don't matter.
Light.
This is shit I'm saying to you right now could get me killed. The shit I talk about in my music could get me killed. My first album says to the FBI, come and get me. Like, come on, man. I've been on their radar. I mean, Ice-T became partners right after Cop Killer. You think they don't have a file on me? You fucking crazy? Like, come on, man. I know what the fuck going on. I ain't stupid. If they don't have a file on me, they ain't doing their job. And come on, we know they doing their job. Right? They listen to this shit right now, and I'm good with that. The whole thing is, look, man, whatever it takes, if I got to be a martyr along with everybody else, so be it. I'm good with that. Well, I'm not going to keep watching this shit. I want to be a part of the solution in history. Like, write me down as a part of the solution, not the problem. My great-great-great-great-greats would be listening to this shit right here that I'm saying right now. They'll find the threads. Yeah, great-great-great-granddaddy was about this. Let's be about this. And that's what it's really about.
That's securing their future. Absolutely.
Well, no, the whole thing is stand for something. Stop falling for this dumb shit. Like, stand like a man. Square your fucking shoulders back, man, and deal with what come with that. Period. Don't be no fucking cowering-ass coward lying and fucking tricking people and fucking snitching and all that homo shit like that faggot Tekashi doing.
Oh,
be
God.
Like him.
No. No. Shit.
How you gonna send a shooter? How you gonna send
that,
how you gonna send the shooter and then tell on the shooter, nigga? And then try to fucking con everybody into believing that you only did it because a nigga fucked your baby mom. Who the fuck is you? The new Nicky Barnes, man? Oh, he fucked my woman and they kidnapped me and blah blah. Okay. But damn, bro, you sent the shooter on a hit mission and told on him. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, that's extremely fucked up.
And then you out here fucking flossing with money. I hope you're taking some of that money to his people. Hope you're taking some of that money to take care of Shotty's family and his kids and all that. Like hitting them off with $100,000 here and $50,000 there and $20,000 there or whatever the fuck. If you're not, you're a faggot fuck piece of shit. Bottom line, them niggas put you where you at, boy. And he know he can't go nowhere where real niggas is at because we going to get at him. At least that's what I heard, man. Little Birdie told me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they moved him a couple times. What I heard. The idiot's out on his balcony recording Instagrams or whatever. But me is...
Well, good luck if that's how you want to live. Like if you want to live... If motherfuckers want to live like that, let that be them, man. I don't know, man. I don't want that. Like, I don't want my sons to have to, you know, your dad was that. Like, I accept my own risk on some harakiri or murder shit. Like, you know what the harakiri shit is? That shit they do, like, I'm that serious about mine. I cut off a fucking man and give it to Jay Prince if I had to, for real, before I'm telling any fucking thing.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
The Yakuza. That shit, nigga. And I ain't got no problem with it. I do it willingly, with honor. That's what these fuckers don't understand. You know what you signed up for? Because if you don't, you need to get the fuck in the wind. If you do, then get that finger up, nigga. Approach it that way.
Yeah, and fuck these people for making them famous, too. These program directors and these other fucking clowns. Who should be focusing on talent? Fuck them too. Anybody that's gassing this fool up, you know.
Oh, they'll come up the Tekashi boy.
Yeah, man. Fuck anybody that's you know what I'm saying, promoting.
Well,
this
I mean,
shit,
I think anybody in their right mind know that if you put your brand with his in any way, your brand better be strictly a pop brand. I think niggas know that. Ain't nobody stupid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Is Roc Nation becoming that pop brand? Guess time gonna tell, huh?
Yeah,
that part. Shout out to D Haven.
Well, let's talk about some real music, man. When is Omerita dropping, man? How close are you to finishing that up?
Listen to this. I'm doing it right. It out as we speak, man. I ain't playing.
Shout out to DJ Vicious Lee, man. You got any features on this project, or is it all just you? Or?
Got Zero. I got Bun B. I got Big Pokey from SUC. I got Ice-T, of course. Ice-T do the intro for the whole joint on some super out gangster shit. Just telling stories of when we like the story I told y'all when I pulled up in that beautiful whip, that foreign, as we say, the foreign glorious hoe catcher, and gave us the tapes and like he telling that shit on some gangster shit. So he on there. I got RC from Poe Broke and Lonely. He and I met when I was working with King T at Dr. Dre's. He was signed to Aftermath. RC, shout out to RC, man. Crimson Monroe. So these are all the homies, man. We just all over time became brothers, man. Like, when you in the music industry, it's the, like, because my family wasn't there for me, it's the best family that I could have had, because we'll give each other keys to each other's mansions and say, yo, man, just keep the house, man. I'm about to go on tour, and like King T did for me, or a brother be like, oh, my wife tripping, man. I'm coming over. All right, man, take one of the guest rooms. Like, it's like a real brotherhood, man, and I'm just proud to be a part of that. Bone Crusher, a lot of guys like that will come by. He's on the album, That Never Scared, one of the biggest singles ever in hip-hop. He used to come by the house, though. Shout out to Bone, man. I'm just a blessed brother, man, because I love this music and I love what it stands for. You know what I'm saying? Like, not just necessarily the revolutionary aspect of it, but just the artistic aspect of it, from the concept of poetry, and like poverty is poetry, and you can take nothing in the most deep pain and turn it into art. Like, that's who I am in my deepest nature.
Man.
That's who I am.
Very, very talented. You know what I'm saying? Artist and producer, man. You know, like I always talk about Portrait of a Serial Player. I mean, that's a timeless classic. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to hear this new one. When are you dropping?
You know what's funny, man? I need to say something, man, about that album. That's heavy on my heart. Like, I was young, man. I owe a few people some bread, man, and I'm about to get at them and hit them with some really cool gifts and some envelopes, man, because I didn't – it's not that I balled out overwhelmingly on the record, but I made good money over time, and I didn't share it properly. You know what I'm saying? I know – I like doing shit that niggas don't do. And the truth is, DJ Ace – shout out to DJ Ace. Shout out to Rhythm D. I owe my brother some bread, man, and I need to fix that, and I'm gonna.
Rhythm D from Ruthless.
Yeah, that's like my
brother.
I
didn't even realize that was him. Wow.
Well, that's who he and I became like brothers. Actually, Ice had to make a flight to London. Ice used to have one of the biggest shows in London called Ice-T's Badass TV. You can probably find some episodes on YouTube. It's a pretty good show. It's funny as fuck. But basically,
he had to go do an episode. It was like a, it was a big, big show. And he said, yo, I got Rhythm D coming by, playing a bunch of dope-ass beats. Just check them out for me twice. If you like some of them, grab them, use them for Serial Player. Because Ice kind of masterminded Serial Player. Like, that was his whole concept. That was his whole, I came up with the album cover, but he came up with the concept of Serial Player. Like, we used to have these syndicate screenings where all the biggest gangsters would come up there and we watch these movies in the movie theater in the mansion. And, like, usually on Fridays. And shout out to Henji, shout out to Strong, OG Strong, shout out to, man, so many other brothers back then. Alcoholic, shout out to the Alcoholic, shout out to King T, my brother King T. But, man, we all was just up to Bizarro. We all was just up there, man. Or shout out to Raw Breed, my nigga Mark from Raw Breed.
Black Silver.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody, man, would be up there. And you never know who would come up there because, like, the Panther movie was out at the time. So shout out to Nefertiti. Nefertiti, and I forget the dude, the light-skinned brother that played Huey Newton in Panther. I forget his name, but he ended up being in The Matrix, too. He would come up there. Shout out to Tim Story, too, that directed Fantastic Four, directed Barbershop. He used to bring his movies up there, and he would shoot on Super 8, and it would be some cool shit.
Wow.
He was just starting. But now he's been Fantastic Four. He's went on to big success. So shout out to Tim Story, but this is all a syndicate, man. This is all Ice's mastermind. Ice is like the fucking Professor Xavier, man, of the West Coast, man. For real.
Man, you definitely, you've had a lot of dope experiences, man. Sounds like you had a lot of fun over the years. I wish you nothing but success, and I want you to continue to do so, man. And, you know, you're welcome on this show anytime you want. You know, anytime you drop something, just get at me and let me know, man. It's always an honor to chop it up with you.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And yeah, I hope that it's so murderous. I'm going to do a book, a documentary, and I'm working on a soundtrack in the background right now. It's definitely incredible work sonically, but I hope people learn something from the story of just not, you know, betraying your friends, man. That's what all murder means, the code of silence. For the mafia, that's what it stands for. It's never telling on your friends, never betraying your friends, maintaining your brotherhoods. And I hope that if they get anything else out of that work, they get that. Like, it's, and it's nothing better than that. I've seen incredible things happen because niggas kept their mouth shut. I'm talking about multi-millions of dollars, and a nigga get out and end up having Bentleys and all type of shit after he did his time. And like, if we're in a struggle, let's approach it like a struggle, and let's keep moving forward. Let's not let one loose lip or a few loose lips make us move 20 steps back. That's all I want to say.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Man, you take care, stay safe. No, go ahead, Sin.
Oh, yeah. On last question, can you tell us about Is There a Heaven for OG? On your album, it was a dope sample you did.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Actually...
One of
y'all
my favorites.
Hear, actually,
yes,
I'm working on a new one. I call it, I'm pulling it up right now on my computer. Everything you listen to in the background, I produced, by the way. But I had to flip this. You remember Jay-Z did Can I Live? Y'all remember While I'm Watching Every Nigga Watching Me Closely? My shit is butter for the bread. They want to toast me. Y'all gonna have to really study your hip hop better, fellas. But basically, my Heaven for a G song ironically came out. He dropped Reasonable Doubt, and I dropped Serial Play around the same time. And it was, they're really very similar albums, which is really strange because I hadn't even met Jay up until that point. But this is the new Heaven for a G. I call it Tell Mama I Joined the Mafia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's sick, man.
Okay.
Man, that sounds just as sick, if not sicker than the original.
Like the Downsoul Gumbo Funk.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
So I got some really cool stuff, man, that I learned something, man. If I don't make it, it don't get made, because my stuff is only my stuff. Like, sometimes you can feel as an artist, you kind of, you don't take yourself very seriously. But what we all as artists got to understand is we're the only painters that can produce that particular portrait. So hopefully this will be something people appreciate, man. That's all I can say about this one. I think people are really going to love this, man.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. I know that for sure. Man, Born Twice, thank you so much, man. You and yours stay safe during these crazy times.
Y'all too, you know, man.
And man, we'll definitely be getting answers.
And au revoir, monsieur. What do I say? Au revoir, monsieur. How do I say that shit right, bro?
Oh, well, monsieur.
That yes, made sense. That shit was right.
Yes, sir.
You know what's funny, man?
Yes, sir,
I had a French. Listen to me, brother. I hope he hears this. I had a French exchange student that stayed at my mansion in Buckhead, right? He stayed there for probably like 8 weeks, man. He didn't speak good English. White guy. He didn't speak good English. Young guy, man. We treated him real good. He was around superstars, but he didn't really know it. He ended up becoming one of my assistants and handling business and stuff for me. And when he left, man, to go back to France, man, I walked him out, helped him with his bags, gave him a big hug, man. I made a new friend, man. So I hope he gets to hear this too, because we wanted to show him America, and he definitely got to see it hanging around new superstars at my mansion. So it was cool.
Yeah, well, shout out to him. Yes, sir.
All right, fellas, man. I appreciate you guys as well, man. One hand watch the other. You dig?
Most definitely. Most definitely, man. This is a classic Born Twice song right here.
Hey, that's really no playeristic shit for the nonsense. Man, I'm more than a fuck. I want the shit I floss in my Benz BMW and Toby truck. Chose my ride, then I pick it up. Himalaya player, find some bitches choosing that Caligula. I used to roll with a crew, nigga. Then I learned real players roll alone and don't pursue niggas. Anyway, I'm pimping now, see. And all my so-called dogs is weak as fuck for these hoes, G. They need to recognize the land. These hoes are shaking on their ass like a motherfucking crap game. Twice as a straight-laced player. You couldn't meet a bitch, you saw me with to tell your ass I didn't lay her. And got some money from the tramp, G. And niggas wonder why so many hoes in H-Town hate me. I give a fuck, I'm still breaking. So get your bigger titty ass on stage and start shaking. Yeah. A real player came to town and clown. Now you bitches wanna. The rhythm, the intense method of sound. So now you niggas wanna. So when you see me give a player a pound, I make the party wanna. Cause only player hate the sport in the front. You fucking with a player having time. You want the house or an apartment, bitch. Laconia's a diamond ring. That ain't no Mac that you chose. Even your ass better do some re-choosing or get in the loop. You wanna think it fucking shit trick? So recognize a real player trying to throw your ass a boat, bitch. I killed game and turned the snooze. Turns out the other homegirl up in my zone and about to choose me. She sent my wedding, did a table dance. I sent it back and said, bitch, I want the money, fuck the romance. That only make them want it most, son. These bitches recognize a real fucking player when they see one. Cause real players don't trick. Man, I got bitches hollering from Houston to Cali by some
white stick, but pay your money before I enter. I'm cutting bitches front and motherfucking center and ripping for sinners. A real player came to town and clown, and now you bitches wanna. The rhythm, the intense method of sound, so now you niggas wanna. So when you see me give a player a pound, I make the party wanna. Cause any player hate a sport and a brand. These trick hoes ain't about shit, and you's a motherfucking fool if you will argue with a snake bitch. Fuck that argues on you in ho. You wanna trip and all a player ever tripping on is getting dope. Pity the hoe to try to sass me. I go gorilla pimp and try to beat the devil out that ass G. Motherfucker bitch emotion. Give us some extra player love potion and you be shooting lotion. And every bitch a nigga ever met, remember me, I'm colder than Iceberg Slim in December G. Me too is known to have it going on. And niggas know they have to get chipped off like a flip phone. Call Magic Wine in Chicago. He told me twice, break a bitch, kill a bitch, smack a sink,